Tonight, Mayor Ted Wheeler face to face with at least 1,000 protesters listening to concerns and being questioned by a crowd that has demonstrated against the city for almost 2 months straight now.
Among the people tear gassed by federal agents in downtown Portland Wednesday night was Mayor Ted Wheeler.
If we are not able to get the federal administration to back off and leave our city, it will happen all across the United States, jeopardizing our United States.
And while that may thrust the continued unrest in the Rose City further into the national spotlight, questions over the federal response to the protests remain. Who are they? Why are they here? And can anyone make them leave? I am Ian Costello. It is Thursday, July 23rd, and you are listening to the COIN Podcast Network coverage of the 2020 protests in Portland.
Welcome to the COIN Podcast Network.
My name is Chris Shortell. I'm an associate professor of political science at Portland State University.
Dr. Chris Shortell has spent his career researching and talking about the relationship between the U.S. federal government and the states.
My primary area of research and teaching touches on issues of constitutional law, in particular on questions of the legality surrounding and constitutionality surrounding federal-state relations. Federalism is a pretty major area of my own research about the relationship between the federal government and the states, what that looks like and how that can be characterized, what's included in that. And what is not included in that.
Earlier this week, I had a chance to talk to him at length about the ongoing protests in Portland and take a deep dive into the reasons for and the arguments against the federal response. Here is that conversation. Thanks again for spending some time with me. And I'd like to start, not necessarily historically, but just a few months ago. Portland's got a bit of a reputation for political unrest, and When we're talking about the early days of these particular protests that followed the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, how do you feel law enforcement was handling those marches and protests in May and June?
Sure. I think that if we look at the evidence that's out there that we have known for a while about how police can most effectively de-escalate protests and keep them from becoming violent, the police in Portland and many other cities, by and large, did not follow that guidance and that evidence. So by increasing the use of force, including different kinds of tear gas and other forms of more aggressive tactics, the research has shown historically that that makes those situations more fraught and more likely to result in violence. And so the response by many police departments across the country that was quite forceful was also pretty ineffective at minimizing the risk of violence and property damage that emerged from those protests.
As things progressed here in Portland, early July, we knew there were federal officials in town. Overall, from an observer's standpoint, what do you think changed that really paved the way for a really big increase in a federal response?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the central issues has been the ongoing location of the sustained protests, near the Justice Center, near City Hall, but also next to the federal courthouse. And so the placement of the federal courthouse right there in that area where a lot of protests have been occurring has meant that the federal authorities have had some ability to respond in order to protect any efforts to enter the federal courthouse or to damage it. And I think the protests taking place right there really offered an opportunity for federal law enforcement to step up its presence.
Dr. Shortell, is there a precedent for what we're currently seeing in Portland in terms of a U.S. federal response to unrest?
Not exactly like this. And that doesn't mean that there hasn't been a federal response to U.S. unrest. There has been, National Guard has been called in the past, but this is not what's happening here. What we have here is certain agencies of federal law enforcement. And the closest analogy is very recent, which was the events in Washington, D.C. But that's a different situation in many respects because D.C. is under federal authority. The action of federal officers in that context is going to be more understandable or more likely to occur in a way that's less the case here in Portland.
In your experience from looking at protests, other situations of unrest, do you think federal law enforcement needed to be dispatched to Portland to control the situation?
I do think that there was a call for the U.S. Marshal Service, which is responsible for protecting federal courthouses, to maintain a presence at the federal courthouse. There were a number of instances of protesters either attempting to break into the courthouse or defacing it with graffiti, firing fireworks towards the courthouse, that provides justification for a continued presence from federal officers in order to make sure that that property remains secure. That is something that is within their purview and within their authorization.
If it would have gone perfectly, what good could they have done? Could they have brought it under control?
I don't think that, and this goes back in some respects to my earlier comment about what is effective in terms of policing protests to reduce violence and minimize the escalation of tensions. I think that there is, good that could have come out of simply keeping protesters out of the federal courthouse. And that would have been kind of the perfect situation. But there is very little that the federal officers could do or should do to try to regulate the overall behavior of protesters, particularly once we move beyond the immediate area around the federal courthouse.
Is that a jurisdiction issue?
Yes.
Anybody following the news, both traditional media, social media, conversations and reports on the protests in Portland, they've heard about these alleged abductions of protesters, this no discernible identification on the officers and agents, a severe lack of coordination with local law enforcement. Is this a secret police force that people with libertarian leanings have been warning us about?
Yes and no, right? I mean, I think what we are seeing here is the exercise of power by the federal government to a scope that most people have not observed before. It is consistent with some of the concerns that have been raised about the potential for overreach by the federal government. And that hasn't only been libertarians who have been highlighting that. There have been a lot of concerns raised across the political spectrum about some of the authority given, for example, for the military, which is not relevant here, but the ability to detain people more indefinitely that people have been concerned about. I think that these are the kinds of actions where you remove insignia, you have unmarked vans and things like that, where the ability to hold officers accountable is diminished. And that is at the core of the concern. How do you hold government accountable and limit it in some way to limit abuses? You have to be able to identify who is creating those abuses in the first place. And that, I think, is a very serious concern that's raised by these actions.
Is there an example of a similar behavior of a secret police force historically? In other words, what kind of historical context should be used to describe this group of agents? We hear the word Gestapo thrown around a lot.
I don't think that what we have here in Portland, I don't think that the closest or most valuable analogy is to the Gestapo, which had a much clearer centralized control, much deeper authority, and was much more effective in terms of their exercise of authority. But we do see things that are similar to tactics that are used in many countries around the world that we would characterize as more authoritarian. Things like the police being held unaccountable, being deployed made in ways that are not always consistent with or clearly follow established legislative authorizations that are in place. I think these are the closer analogies to the beginning steps of this. I mean, I think that there's alarm, not because this is widespread, but because of the precedent that it sets, that these are the kinds of actions that if they were widespread, if they were happening with regularity, would be the kinds of actions that authoritarian regimes use in order to secure power and control the population.
Governor Kate Brown, local leaders, state lawmakers, U.S. congresspeople have demanded that the feds leave Portland. Are they within their constitutional rights to throw them out? Do the feds need permission to be here?
They do not. They don't need permission from the states to operate, as long as they are operating under the auspices of valid federal law. That is really one of the big questions surrounding this. And that's because of the supremacy clause in the Constitution, right? So the federal law is supreme over state law, but only in as much as the Constitution grants the authority to the federal government to act in that area. And the federal government does not have the same scope of power as the states. States have a broad grant of power, and the federal government has a more limited scope of power that it can use. Now, that power is quite extensive and covers a whole variety of things, but it is more limited than what states can do. Where an action is taken using that federal power, then they do not need approval from the states. States do not have the authority to just kick the federal government out. And that's been the challenge for Governor Brown and Mayor Wheeler, because they do not have the ability to simply expel these federal officers.
Mentioned it before, that's an issue of jurisdiction.
Yes.
So it's very difficult for Governor Kate Brown or a Mayor Wheeler or Senator Merkley to throw them out. The next step would be to sue them out. Now, I think we've got two or maybe three lawsuits now that have been filed. Do you think these lawsuits will have much of an effect on getting federal agents to leave?
Potentially, yes. I mean, compliance is always a question. And I would just note, I wouldn't include Senator Merkley in that list of Governor Brown and Mayor Wheeler. Senator Merkley, along with the other U.S. senators and members of the House of Representatives, could do something about these officers. Now, they can't just directly throw them out, but they do control the budgets of these agencies. They do control the authorizing legislation for these agencies. So Congress actually does have a lot of power when it chooses to use that power. That's not happening immediately. The more immediate approach has been to go to the courts. The courts are unlikely to kick these officers out, but they may very well impose the similar restraints that federal courts have imposed on Portland police officers in terms of the tactics that they use. And they could offer an injunction that would limit the ability of these federal law enforcement officers to engage in particular kinds of tactics, like using tear gas, pepper balls, things like that. Those kinds of injunctions, we could see that happen. But again, the federal officers do have a legal right to protect the federal courthouse.
Dr. Shortell, what does it say to you about these federal agents and this response from the federal government that local law enforcement doesn't seem to want to coordinate with them?
I think the story on that is a little bit mixed. I think it's less clear that local law enforcement was not coordinating at all with federal officers. There was a federal officer who was in the command center with Portland Police as a liaison. As I understand it, that cooperation is no longer in place. And I think that's an evaluation by the Portland Police Bureau of a couple of things. One is the presence of federal officers in Portland is incredibly unpopular with many people in Portland and is actually serving to escalate the scope of protests. They have drawn more people out in protests. And I think Portland Police Bureau is rightly concerned about what the effects of that would be. And it's also really politically risky for the Portland Police Bureau to align themselves too closely with these federal officers who are unpopular with significant portions of the population. So there are a couple of reasons for local law enforcement to disengage from the actions of federal law enforcement so that they don't have to kind of carry the blame that could follow.
We'll be right back.
The COIN Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Administration will be working to remove dangerous offenders sprung loose by these deadly policies and, frankly, by these deadly politicians. My vision for America's cities could not be more different from the lawlessness being pushed by the extreme radical left, while others want to defund.
Wednesday afternoon, the White House announced that federal agents would be sent into other cities as part of Operation Legend, the Trump administration's crackdown on violent crime. During our conversation, I asked Dr. Chris Shortell how he thought that would go.
We hear reports that these federal teams could be dispatched to places like Chicago, Seattle. Would you expect to see similar discontent with them there?
Yes, absolutely. I think the move is very unpopular with residents of the sort of core cities, but that's not the target audience of these actions. Federal law enforcement officers are not here in Portland because that's what the residents of the city of Portland want. They are here because that emphasizes a particular set of topics, race and crime in particular, that President Trump and his campaign feel will be more positive territory for them to campaign on in 2020 than coronavirus or the economy. The dispatch of these federal law enforcement officers is much less connected to kind of what the actual threat is than to what the optics of it are and the ability to say, look, you know, we're coming in hard and we're bringing these places of chaos under order. I hear regularly from family and friends who come to me like, oh my gosh, I heard there's riots in Portland. Are you safe? Are things okay? I'm like, well, you know, I was a block from City Hall yesterday and there's nothing there. You know, I would say like, this is not what you are imagining, but in the public imagination of what riots look like and the kinds of chaos that little snippets and you know, YouTube videos convey, it creates a sense of chaos and risk and danger. And being able to offer some authority and some resolution to that danger has long been a successful political tactic.
Creating the perception of a problem that's much worse than it actually is as a campaign message.
Yes. The messages that validate this hypothesis to some extent by looking at what is the Trump campaign saying right now? What kinds of messages are they putting out? And they're very consistent with a heavy emphasis on crime and a heavy emphasis on race. And so that tells us those are the messages that the Trump campaign at this point in time believes are going to be most successful in securing President Trump's reelection.
The man who seems to be speaking on behalf of the federal government in this, at least publicly, and providing statements to why federal agents are in Portland, is acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf. And I know you wanted to get into some concerns you had about the word acting as part of his title.
We think about this, well, what about our elected officials? They're our path to accountability. Within the agencies themselves, the heads of those agencies are appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate, except that is not true for the agencies. Department of Homeland Security has an acting secretary who has not been appointed, nominated, or confirmed by the Senate. The second in charge at DHS has also not been nominated, confirmed by the Senate. Customs and Border Protection has a vacancy, so you have an acting director there. So we have a lot of individuals who are running these agencies who are not accountable in the traditional way that the heads of agencies are accountable. And I think that's a concerning piece to this puzzle as well.
What concerns you the most about what we're seeing? What keeps you up at night about this current situation?
I think that it is a very troubling precedent. I think that the exercise of federal law enforcement under very fuzzy and unclear statutory authority to operate broadly on Portland city streets is a very worrisome precedent to create, particularly when there is no ready mechanism for accountability of the agencies and agents who are involved in that.
What do you think needs to happen to de-escalate this situation? And do you think it's possible?
I do think it's possible to de-escalate this situation. In fact, I think that the situation had, by and large, been in a de-escalating trend prior to the upsurge of federal law enforcement officers being present. I think that a policy of more disengagement, more separation between the officers and protesters is a positive one. I think that the federal law enforcement presence in Portland should decline in number, not be eliminated entirely. Again, they have a lawful right to protect those federal properties and they have a responsibility to do that. But taking a more defensive posture in doing so is likely to reduce the number of people who feel they need to be actively protesting. And then, I think more substantive policy changes, which is what the protests have been focused on from the beginning with regards to policing, are likely to lead to a reduced sense of a need to be on the streets protesting directly.
Thursday morning, in an appearance on CBS This Morning, Acting Department of Homeland Security Director Chad Wolf blasted Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler for appearing at the protests Wednesday night.
And it continues to be very violent. I'm very concerned that the mayor chose an audience. There are both peaceful protesting going on in Portland and then very violent criminal activity going on in Portland. And the mayor chose to go to that violent activity. He has legitimized criminal behavior by doing that. He could have chosen to go to peaceful protesting, had a audience there, and could have made his points. He chose to go to an area that has seen 54 nights of criminal activity targeting a federal courthouse and targeting federal law enforcement officers. So, again,
He also said there are no plans to remove federal agents from the city.
I think there's confusion on what we are doing in Portland. We are there to protect a federal courthouse. We have that responsibility given to us by the United States Congress. We are on that federal property and we are protecting that federal property. Most Americans don't understand the violent criminal activity that is occurring in Portland from midnight to 5 a.m. every night and early morning. These are, again, not peaceful protests. Department of Homeland Security has no concerns. We've seen 54 straight days of peaceful protest in Portland, and you haven't heard of any incidents. We don't make arrests there. There's no concern there. It's this violent activity. We have, over last night, 2,000 individuals showing up in black, all black, wearing masks, having incendiary devices, fireworks, lobbing that at law enforcement officers. This is violent activity. It's criminal activity, and we'll continue to enforce the law at the courthouse in Portland.
Thursday afternoon, the Justice Department announced that it will conduct a review of the conduct of federal agents who responded to unrest in Portland and in Washington, D.C. That will do it for Thursday, July 23rd. Thank you for listening to the COIN Podcast Network. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the COIN Podcast Network. You can listen to more great COIN podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.